Old Spice contains odor-fighting atomic robots that shoot lasers at your stench monsters and replaces them with fresh, clean, masculine scent elves. So if everything doesn't go according to plan tonight, I want you to realize there's more going on beneath this shirt than meets the eye. Amen. That's as good as it gets. All right, Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11. That's better than a fat joke, let me tell you. I don't know if I have time. Job chapter 11. And I started working on this sermon twice, and I wrapped my fist around it and threw it in a garbage can because the Bible offended me. And then I started working on it again and was ready to pitch it out. And I said, well, I'm just going to go through with it. And you might kind of get the gist as we go. It's really not that bad of a sermon, but it offended me. Maybe it'll offend you. I hope not. Hopefully I get some help out of it. Job chapter 11. As we read through the Bible, we see that God compares men to a lot of different things. And some of the things the Lord compares us to are animals. We find that men are compared to dogs in a bad sense, and swine. We're compared to chickens and the sheep, to sparrows. In the book of the Song of Solomon, we're compared to goats and to doves, and we're compared to eagles. And in Job chapter 11, look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt." And so the Lord likens men to a donkey, which is pretty humiliating, amen? And I've been to a lot of preachers' homes, and preachers, you know, they're kind of weird people. I was at one guy's house, and he invited me into his living room, and on his walls, it was a big living room, there were three deer and an antelope, and then this antelope, the teeth of an antelope and horns, there was no fur on it, kind of creepy looking thing. Then over here there was a bear and all this stuff. But I tell you what, I've never been to a preacher's house, and above the mantle, there stood the head of a mule. Well, let me tell you, brother, I was out in the deer stand one day, and man, this mule came by, and I almost had a shot, and then the branch was in the way, and then he heard me, and he ran the other way, but I got him! That's never the case. No one wants to hang a mule on their wall. And it's kind of a humiliating thing that the Lord likens us to donkeys, huh? But we'll look at the Bible, see what it has to say. Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, I don't know the hearts of these people, Lord, but you do. I don't know what they need. Lord, you know that. I pray you might minister to their need. Help me not to say anything contrary to your words tonight. Help me not to say anything contrary to the Holy Spirit. We pray it might be with a lesson to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. The title to the sermon, if you want to write it down, it's The Biblical Duties of a Donkey. The Biblical Duties of a Donkey. Look at Numbers chapter 22. I've got three sermons in one, so we're going to try to run through. We probably won't make it. Numbers chapter 22. And probably the most famous story about a donkey in the Bible, the one that is the most published and the most well-known. Numbers chapter 22, and a look at verse number 20. And keep in mind, we're looking at the duties of a biblical donkey, just the duties of a biblical donkey. And if a donkey could do these things we're going to look at, then certainly we should be able to do them, right? Amen. Some of you are puzzled. If a donkey, I'll repeat it, if a donkey can do the things that we're going to look at, then you and I ought to do the same things. A donkey shouldn't one-up me or you, right? I'd hope not, amen. But we'll see, maybe the donkey has. Numbers 22 and verse 20, this is the story of Balaam and the ass. The Bible says, "And God came unto Balaam at night and said to him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And the God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and a sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into a field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? Did I ever want to kill you?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. You know, one of the biblical duties of a donkey is to testify, to open your mouth when God says speak. And we've gone all across the country and talked with all sorts of folks, and people have all sorts of excuses for not opening up their mouth. I remember I was talking with a brother, and he said, "Well, you know, I'm just not much of those witnessing type, you know, to go out there and talk with. I'm shy, you know." And we were there for two services. And the second service, he went on for about 40 minutes about all these hunting trips and fishing trips. And I just sat back, I looked at that, and I thought, here's a guy that says he's shy, but yet he'll talk about what he wants to talk about. And some of you sitting here, you've never, I'm not saying give out a gospel tract, that's good. I'm saying you've never opened your mouth to present the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what the Lord says? Open your mouth. If a donkey could open his mouth when God said open it, shouldn't you? Amen. Amen. I'll say it loud enough so it echoes myself. Amen. Amen. Some of you haven't done that. You know what? This donkey had all the excuse in the world. Some of you have all the excuse. You say, "Well, I've never done it." Well, this donkey has never opened her mouth. Amen. She's never spoken before. And some of you have never witnessed before, but you ought to go out. The Lord commands you to go out. You look at Balaam in the passage, and the Bible says, "The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said, 'What have I done unto thee? Thou smit me these three times.'" Now, you know you've lost your cool when you answer a donkey when it talks to you, amen? You're not all there. And sometimes I think we're more like Balaam. We don't see the Lord's eye in things. We don't see what the Lord has in the purpose of God. We're running away from the will of God. Balaam's run away from God's will. God said, "If they call you, rise up and go." They never called him. He just rose up and went against the will of God. And you know what? The Lord says, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Look at, keep your finger here. I just want to show you one more thing when we get back. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. One of the greatest problems we have in America are a whole bunch of dead, dry Christians. Amen. At least pretend you're not. Amen. Amen, preacher. That's right. People won't go out. You know what? If this group right here went out and actively witnessed, you could shake this town. If this group right here went out and personally just talk with folks at Walmart or the mall or wherever you go, you could shake this place up for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "How dare you say that?" I don't know you. Maybe you do. Praise the Lord if you do. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." You know what the Lord tells Timothy? He says, go out and preach the word. Be instant. And some of you aren't instant. Some of you tonight, if someone were to come to you and say, "I've got a lot of problems and I'm really going through the ringer, and I don't know why, I need some help," you wouldn't know how to open the Bible and help them. Some of you, if somebody came to you and said, yeah, I heard all this stuff about Catholicism, and my mom's a Presbyterian, and my dad's a Catholic, and I just don't know how to get to heaven. Some of you might not know how to open this Bible and help them. Why? Because you're not ready. You're not instant, in season, out of season. You know what a donkey did? It just opened its mouth when God said, go. I was with a church and a pastor, and his wife was there, and I was preaching a sermon about casting the net and how you need to go out and throw the net. And I remember at the end of that thing, the wife came up to me, and she was real mad. I offend people, I suppose. And she said, brother, what do you think preaching like that at this church? You know, she said, we know how to witness. I said, okay, well, that's fine. You know, I'm not saying you don't. I'm just preaching the Bible. You're supposed to cast the net. And she said, you ask me any Bible question I can answer, you know. And her husband's standing there. What an awkward situation. And he's looking at me like, go ahead, ask her something. I said, all right, well, how does someone get saved? She said, that's easy. You let Jesus in your heart. That's not how you get saved, amen. You don't let Jesus in your heart. That's not salvation. Come into my heart. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Come on. Look at John chapter 15. We have all these Christians. They say, well, brother, don't you know we're in Laodicea, brother? You'll never see any results, brother. We're in Laodicea. And the problem isn't Laodicea. The problem is you, Christian. They use Laodicea as this great big excuse. And you know what? Laodicea is talking about the church, not the lost people. They apply the term Laodicea to the lost folks. Brother, don't you know things are getting worse out there? We're in Laodicea. Yeah, but the lost people have always been lost. Their souls have always been unregenerated. They've always been against God, right? Amen. They've always been that way. They haven't gotten worse and worse and worse. They've always been against the Lord. It's our job to go out and preach gospel. John chapter 15 deals with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Christians. Are we on the same page? Amen. I'm the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look at verse number 16, if you would. The Lord Jesus Christ said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know, the Lord not only told you to go out, he not only chose you, but at salvation, the Lord ordained you to be a soul winner. And I've talked with folks before on the subject of ordination. They say, well, brother, I just can't do it. I'm not ordained. I say, the Lord ordained you to go out and to bring forth fruit. And you're looking for man's approval to soul win? I don't think so. Go back to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. It's the biblical duty of a donkey just to testify, just to speak when the Lord says speak. You're not responsible for the results. You're not responsible to bring thousands or hundreds or even 20 to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit of God's job. Your job is just to speak. If you would, look at verse number 31, Numbers 22, verse 31. After Balaam's ass speaks, then the Lord, the Bible says, opened the eyes of Balaam. You know what? All you can do, Dr. Ackman always said this, all you can do is your best. If you go out and witness and give out tracts and soul win and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to reject it and reject it and reject it, there's nothing you can do, because that has to be done by the Lord. Pastor and I were talking about this easy believism, pray a prayer, and you know you're saved, all that stuff. And that's not how the Lord works. The Lord works through men, and then through your word spoken out of this Bible, he sends the Holy Spirit of God to convict those hearts, and then he gives them that free will to choose to accept or reject. But your job is to testify. Look, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 22. It's not very hard to go out and tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really not. A lot of times you get scared because you haven't done it or you're not very skilled at it, but the more you do it, the more the better you'll get, and the more the doors will open a little bit easier. One of the greatest places to soul win is Walmart. Find people all the time in there just wandering around trying to figure out what they need. One of the best places in the world, I don't know if you have a mall around here, but as a shopping mall with all those shops inside of it. You know what you'll find? You'll find men sitting on benches, and they sit kind of stooped down like this, and they're praying. Lost men are praying. They're saying, God, please don't let my wife buy a Yankee candle for $45. You know what? You saddle up beside them, and you say, hey, man, how you doing? They say, oh, I'm doing all right. And they look like they're troubled, and really, they're not troubled about anything important. It's just Yankee candle. I'm telling you, that thing gets them every time. And you say, can I show you a few verses out of the scripture? And most of the time, I'm telling you, most of the time, I've asked men that time and time, they say, sure, why not? I'm just sitting here. And then after that, then they'll kick you off the bench or whatever. But you get an open door. Those are some easy spots to witness. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. So it's a biblical duty of a donkey to testify, to speak when the Lord tells you to speak. And look at verse number 10, Deuteronomy 22:10. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. It's the biblical duty of a donkey to be temperate. The Lord wants you to be separated from the world. Amen. It's right there. It's all through the New Testament. You know what a whole bunch of people are doing today? They're going over to lost friends' houses because they have a big screen TV. And they're going to sit down and they're going to eat a lot of Doritos and drink a lot of Pepsi or Coke. And they're going to sit there and cheer and spit and drool potato chips all over the place. And they're not going to tell those lost folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to bring up a Bible topic. They're not going to pray. They're not going to do anything. You know what that's called? It's called plowing with an ox and an ass together. Take your Bible. You don't have to come back to Deuteronomy. You can let that go. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The problems that we have in the church is that people don't obey clear scripture. There's a lot of things this Bible says, and it's extremely clear. You know, even the deepest, darkest subjects in the Bible are really quite simple. If you take the Bible at face value, amen, brother? I mean, the deepest, darkest thing, you just compare this and this, and okay, there it is. And some of the simplest things we just kind of lay to the side because they go against our flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says, verse 14, very familiar verse, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know what the Lord says? He says, don't hang out with lost people. Some of you are mad right now. You look at me kind of like, ugh. Let's all read this together. Let's all read verse 14. I'm just reading you the Bible. It's okay. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what righteous fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You know what that means? Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's just that simple. But you know what? Your kids see you hanging out with the wrong guy, and your children and teens around his church see you go hunting with somebody that's lost, and you never talk about the Lord, and you never pray, you never witness to him. It's just a hunting experience. They see you go out fishing. They see you hanging out. And you know what? Then whenever they turn 16, 17, 18, they start hanging out with lost people, and you scratch your head and you say, why? How did all this happen? And you start losing everybody in your church. The whole next generation is gone. Why? Because they're following your example. You say, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a Super Bowl game. Yeah, but either you believe the Bible or you don't. You know what a biblical duty of a donkey is? Not to plow with an ox and an ass together. You know what? It's easy to plow with the ox. You know why? The ox is bigger. It does most of the work. You just put your head down and you just talk about whatever the ox wants to talk about because he's doing most of the work. You know what? It's hard. It's hard to plow with an ox and then you start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Normally that ox will kick you out of that yoke. He'll say, get me somebody, get me another ox. He said, I don't want to plow with you anymore. You're supposed to be temperate. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. You know what my problem is when it comes to the scriptures and these sort of things? I like to delve deep into the dark doctrines of the Bible and overlook the practical things. And those are, I call those the fun subjects. But you know what we need to do? We need to get back to the basics. What basics of holy living? Just obeying the clear commands of the Lord. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 17, Paul tells you what to do. Philippians 3 and verse 17, Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." He tells you, follow me. Follow me. But he says, listen, I'm not going to be here for 100 years. I'm going to die. He says, you know what you ought to do? He says, mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. Find the guys that are walking the same as I'm walking, the guys that are out preaching the same thing that I'm preaching, that are doctrinally sound. Find those guys and follow those guys and befriend those guys. And you know what, Christians, that's what you got to do. You ought to befriend folks in the church. Sometimes people in the church are the worst enemies, man. I was at a church, and there was a deacon. I'm not kidding. You always hear these deacon stories, and I actually was able to see one with my own two eyes. There was a deacon all the way over here. It was only two rows of pews. He sat all the way over here in the front row. And there was a deacon that sat in the back row all the way over there. And we got talking, and this deacon comes up to me, and he starts bad-mouthing the other guy. I said, well, who is he? Oh, he's the other deacon. And I said, okay, you know. And I said, yeah, forget about it. I don't need to hear gossip and all stuff. And he got offended, and then I was in the back. This guy starts bad-mouthing him, so I grabbed both of them. I said, we need to pray. And they were both just bitter and all stuff. I was sitting there praying that the Lord would mend the division in the church. And that didn't go over very well either. Look at Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You know what preachers always say that? You know, they say Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all that stuff. They say, I said that for me. They're lying, all right? I just want to let you know that. A preacher's been preaching for 30 years and he can't remember where Philippians is? Come on, they're saying it for you because you don't read your Bible. Amen. It's all right, I'm leaving soon. Mark chapter number 11. And verse number 1, the Bible says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered in into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by a door without a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. You know, not only do you have to be testify, and not only do you have to be temperate, but you as a Christian sometimes, I know it can apply to a lost man, but it don't apply to a Christian. You need to be tamed as a Christian. You need to be tamed. And the only way the Lord's going to be able to tame you as a Christian is he's going to have to ride you. And you know what that's going to mean? That's going to mean you're going to have to get down and you're going to have to let the Lord Jesus Christ take full control of your life. Full control. That means he's going to control what you put in your mouth, food or other substances. He's going to control what you watch on TV. He's going to control where you go with your car. He's going to have the reins. You know what the duty of a biblical donkey is? It's to be tamed, to let Jesus Christ ride him. I was trying to get a hold of a donkey, and I remember talking to some of these owners, and I asked them, I said, how do you tame a donkey? And they said, you have to ride him to tame him. And I always heard Dr. Uckman say that, you know, and I thought, okay, well, he must be on the ball. That's what this guy said. And I said, well, what else? He said, well, you have to weight him down with heavy burdens in order to tame a donkey. And I said, why is that? He said, well, a donkey is there trotting along, and if you weight them down with enough weight, something heavy enough, they know that if they get down and they're stubborn, they won't be able to stand back up with all that weight on them. And you as a Christian, you know what it might take? It might take the Lord putting some heavy weights on you and putting some restraints on you to tame you. And you know what you could do? You can buck and kick them off, or you can put your head down and say, okay, Lord, I know I'm just a loose cannon over here. I'm doing my own thing. I'm living the wrong life. Sure, I come to church. I put a tie on, or don't put a tie on, whatever you do. Amen. I was at a church. The guy, the preacher, didn't wear a tie, and I forgot my suit coat. And so I said, I felt bad because I have a tie. I forgot my suit coat, but he has a suit coat and forgot his tie, you know, and that sort of thing. But you can fool everybody else, but you know what? The Lord knows. The Lord knows that you won't let him ride you. You won't let him get on and take the reins and take the controls. And some of you, you know what you need? Some of you are here and you're older and you haven't submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ yet. You haven't submitted to what he wants. You want to run your life the way you want to do it. You want to spend your money the way you want to spend it. You want to go places that you want to go. You want to do things that you want to do. And you haven't been tamed yet. You haven't let the Lord take control. You know what the duty of a donkey is? To let the Lord take full control. Just say, Lord, here I am. Lord, take control. Now you see why I wanted to throw this message out, amen? I don't want to do that. You know what? I told Pastor this. I didn't want to go to Sicily, honestly. I want to go back to my people, to New York City. The only place I ever thought I'd go was to Israel. My dad is Jewish. I thought, I'm going to go to my people. You know, the Lord said, go to Sicily. And the Lord's put that burden from those people in my heart. And you know what? I know that's where we're supposed to go, and we're going. But you know what? That's not what I wanted to do. You know what, Christian? Sometimes you got to put your wants aside and say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? The Lord doesn't burden us with heavy burdens. And praise God for it. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the same passage there, we'll hit two birds with one stone or two donkeys with one stone or something. In Mark 11, not only should you be tame, but you ought to be temporary. You know what? They went to that donkey, and he had probably one rope around his neck tied to a pole. You know what they did? They loosed him. You know what you ought to be as a Christian? Bible-believing Christian, you ought to be temporary. So many times the Lord has desires to use somebody, but they have a tie down over here to Chase. They have a tie down over here to MasterCard. They have a tie down over here to Visa. They have a tie down over here to a mortgage. They have a tie down over here to a 20-year commitment they've made. And the Lord can't use you. The biblical duty of a donkey is just to be there waiting for the Lord's call. If the Lord were to call some of you men to the mission field, would you be ready to go? Or do you have too many ties? Do you have too many things that are holding you back? I often thought about this thing in this passage. You know, the Lord hath need of him. I like to see somebody do that today. You know, you guys are farmers up here. Go down to your neighbor's pasture and pull a cow off, you know. And the guy comes out of the shotgun. He said, don't worry, the Lord hath need of him, you know. But you know what? That's how you ought to be as a Christian. You ought to be sitting there, whatever field you're grazing in, whatever field you're working in, you ought to be sitting there just waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to call you. If he never calls you, that's fine. But you ought to be available if he does. Some of you ladies, if the Lord were to call your husband, you wouldn't go. Why? You have too many tie downs. You have too many things restricting you, too many anchors holding you back. Family and friends, and you can't get rid of those emotional ties. You know what? You ought to be temporary. You ought to be ready for the Lord to use you. Amen? Amen. I'm not saying anything wrong, am I? All right, then amen me. It'll help me go faster. Amen. Now, as a donkey, you ought to be temporary and for the work of the Lord, but you ought to be temporary as well, looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're temporary and you're looking for him to come back, you won't live the way some of you live. You won't do the things some of you do. Why? Because you're looking for him to come back. And if he were to come back and find you doing the things that you're doing and some of the things you plan to do tonight, if the Lord were to come back, he wouldn't be happy with you. You got too many tie downs. We're going to move on just for sake of time. Look at Numbers 22 again. Numbers 22. I don't know you guys. I'm just trying to be a help to you. I don't want to be a hindrance or anything like that. And I want to come in here and preach any false doctrine. We got the Hoffman Bible, man. Seriously, that thing, I was speaking through it today, that thing is jocked full of notes, amen. Numbers 22, and we just read this story. Look at verse number 32. As a donkey, you will be tempted. As a donkey, you will be tempted. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. You know what the temptation is going to be? The temptation is going to be, you're hauling around somebody, you got a burden on your shoulder of some preacher or some missionary or whoever it's going to be, and your temptation is going to be just to say, I know God doesn't want that. That's what the ass saw. He saw God didn't want Balaam to go that way, but the temptation is going to be, hey, you want to go? Telling you, that's not what God wants. Oh, you want to go? You're hitting me again. Okay, you sure you want to go? Okay, yeah. I'll take you and just to go against the will of God. That's what I would do if I was a donkey. I'd say, don't hit me a third time. I'd say, you want to go? Let's meet the angel. But you know what? You can't react out of the flesh. That's a temptation, isn't it? Just to react. It's a temptation. That's a temptation a donkey faced. You know what? The donkey persevered where you or I probably would have fell short. You will be tempted. Take your Bible, if you would. Look at Philippians chapter number 1. When you're tempted and you endure wrong for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, one, the Lord's pleased with you, and two, it's a help to the brethren. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. No, just kidding. Philippians chapter 1. And if you would, look at verse number 8. The Apostle Paul says, for God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was beat, and Paul was imprisoned, and Paul was stoned, and Paul was shipwrecked, and we all know the life of Paul. And Paul says, those things happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. And just like that donkey, Paul reacted in the right way. He just took it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And because he took it and he had a good testimony, in verse 13, the Bible says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know what? If you'll endure the temptation and you'll take some things for the Lord Jesus Christ, just like that donkey took a beating for God. He didn't go against the will of God. If you'll take a beating sometimes for the things of this book and for the things of Christ, other brethren will see that and they'll wax bold through your persecution and through your trials, and the gospel will be preached. I don't know about you, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you read some of the old accounts of those things, you read of men and women, especially the women, that's what gets me, is these women that stood and allowed somebody to nail them, or allowed somebody to burn them, or to drown them, before that they'd forsake the Lord Jesus Christ and forsake this book. You know what? That emboldens me. I don't know about you, that emboldens me. And if you'll just hang on, and when the temptations come, do the right thing, that'll embolden other Christians, even in your own church. They'll say, hey, if that old lady, I was pointing over here, sorry, sister, if that old lady, no. If that old woman or that old man in church could endure that mocking and that backstabbing and that backtalk and people just bad-mouthing them and just keep coming to church and keep wanting them for Christ, well, man, if they could do it, they're old, I can do it too. That'll help somebody. But so many times we don't. We just want to react. I'm telling you, if I was that donkey, I'd be like, you want to go? Let's go. And you know what? The Bible says God would have spared a donkey and would have kicked and would have killed Balaam. And you know what? That's what's happened a lot of times. We react in the flesh, and a lot of the prophets, a lot of the men of God, a lot of the saints get hacked because we react the wrong way. Now the last one here, look at Judges chapter 15. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Psalm. I'm trying for you tonight. Now, this is the last one we'll look at, and not only should you be, you will be tempted, but you should come through victorious on those temptations through the blood of the Lord and through the book and through prayer and through fasting. But you ought to have a testimony. Judges chapter 15, and here they've bound Samson. They're going to take him to the Philistines, and Samson said, "Swear unto me, you won't kill me yourself." And they said, "Hey, we're not going to kill you. We're delivering you to the Philistines." And look at verse number 14. "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistine shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men." And according to the Bible, Samson's gone across there and he sees the Philistines come out against him. And he doesn't have any weapon. He has no way to defend himself. Here's a bunch of men and they've got swords and spears and shields and helmets and all that sort of thing. And the Bible says Samson, those bands just came like burnt flax and he came off. And Samson looked down and he saw this thing and he pulled out and he said, "Rah!" And he ripped off the jawbone of an ass. Amen. It's trying to be dramatic, but it got caught on something. And you know what, Christian? That doesn't look like much, does it? Doesn't look like much, but you know what? That's what that donkey left behind. And I wonder, Christian, see, the biblical duty of a donkey is to leave a testimony behind. And I wonder when you die, if there's going to be a jawbone there that somebody else can pick up and fight the enemy of God with. Will there be a testimony? Or will it just be, "Yeah, that guy, yeah, he was in and out of church, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm kind of glad he's gone. He always gossiped. I really like that about him." Will there be a testimony? You know how this thing gets formed? See, people don't think. I'm not very smart, but I try to think, amen. You know how this thing got formed, this jawbone? It got formed through eating. You're not going to one day come up with some great idea and go out and fight the enemy, right, spiritually, and make a big name for yourself overnight. It doesn't happen. You know how this jawbone got formed? It got formed by a donkey going out in the field and finding some grass and putting its head down and ripping some grass out and chewing it and chewing it and chewing it. And every day it'd go out there and just eat and eat and eat and eat and drink. And eat and eat. And that's how this thing got formed. That's the only way it got formed. Nobody went in there. Nobody did some special operation to put this in there. It started out real small and then it kept growing and growing and growing. And you know what? That's the testimony that Samson found lying by the side. There was a new jawbone of an ass. And you know the only way you're going to get a jawbone, the only way you're going to have a testimony for one of these young kids to pick up is if every day you go to that Bible and eat and eat and eat and eat. And then you go to that Bible and drink, and you get in prayer, and you fellowship with the Lord. And that testimony will get larger and larger and stronger. And one day, somebody can pick that baby up and defeat the enemy with it. You know, you say, "Well, nobody knows me." Well, maybe just your kids know you. Maybe just your grandkids know you. How many of you guys know Charles Rudisill? Anybody? That's my grandpa. I mean, my great-grandpa, so I don't expect you to know him. None of you know who he is. But he used to, before he died of mustard gas poisoning in World War II. Before he died, he worked for the Salvation Army. And in the Salvation Army back then, they used to take King James Bibles, and they'd go down to the cities, and they'd stand up, and they'd preach the gospel of Jesus Christ on the street corners all across America and across Europe. You don't know that, but I know that. And you know what? That encouraged me as a 12-year-old boy. I said, "Nobody else is doing this. Well, my grandpa did it." Man, I'll just grab a Bible and just go out and start preaching the gospel. And that's what I did. And then I quit. And about 18, 19, I was going through carpentry school. And the Lord hit me again. He said, "Didn't your grandpa do that?" I said, "Yeah, he sure did." You know what my grandpa did? He left behind a testimony. You don't know him. Probably, I doubt most of my family even knows that. You know what he left behind? A testimony for me. And I wonder if you're going to leave it behind, a testimony that somebody else can pick up and can defeat the enemy of God with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure are grateful for the Bible, Lord. We sure are grateful, God, that you use common things just as a donkey or a dog, Lord, sometimes a tree or sometimes some barley or whatever it might be, Lord, so that we can compare your word to reality, to the world we live in, God. We thank you that you came down and suffered like a man. You endured everything that we go through, God, and yet you did it without sin. You did it perfectly. You resisted every temptation and came through triumphantly. And Lord, we thank you for doing it. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, some of these folks out here, Lord, I don't know what they struggle with, Lord. I pray that maybe they could apply something from the donkey, Lord, to their life, Lord. I know I'm not a great speaker or anything like that, Lord, but I know your Holy Spirit could prick their heart where it needs to be pricked, Lord. We pray they might get the glory and honor. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.